Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, early church history reveals a clear picture of how and when people received the Holy Ghost. Modern church teachings, though, confuse the issue. You know, we've come up with so many ideas about receiving the Holy Spirit that if you listen to one or another, you might be confused, and some of them are completely opposite each other. So we're going to skip back today. We're going to skip back to the beginning to learn exactly what the Word of God teaches on this subject. It's not my opinion, and it's not somebody else's opinion. It's what the Word of God shows us, and it's what Jesus said. It's the truth of God's Word as presented in His Word. And as we go there, I want us to pray first, and then we're going to open our Bibles to the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel record. Father, please let us hear Your Word today. Open our ears to hear, Father. Open our eyes to see. Open our minds and clear them, Lord, from every distraction. Let us not be distracted during this time when You present Your Word through Your speaker that You've chosen to be here today. Father, give me unction to speak clearly. Pour out Your Spirit to guide us. As Your Word promises, Lord, we ask that You would open the eyes of our understanding. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 11, you'll find that on page 700 in the Pew Bible. We'll begin at verse 5 in Luke chapter 11. We'll just read a few verses through verse 13. Page 700 in the Pew Bible, Luke 11, 5 through 13. And this is what's written there. This is the dialogue of Jesus. He's the one speaking. He said to them, His disciples, after teaching them how to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Remember, this is the Messiah. The man who God anointed. Humankind had never met God on this level. And he says, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? These weren't unbelievers. These weren't non-followers. They were true disciples of Christ. But they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how many of us in this room have received the Holy Spirit. But I know at that time they believed, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture tells us. As we read it, and Jesus tells us, they had to ask. They hadn't received the spirit of wisdom. They hadn't received the spirit of truth. They hadn't received the spirit of power. They hadn't received the Comforter. But Jesus gave them the key to receiving Him. He first uses the illustration of a friend asking another for food in the middle of the night to serve his friend who had come. Now, my guess is this was an unexpected visit. And the reason I say that is because he would have prepared. He would have known to prepare. My friend is coming from a long journey. I want to have something here to feed him. He wouldn't go begging at midnight to somebody who's asleep. How many times does life catch us off guard? Things happen that we don't know are going to happen. And maybe we need to turn to God in prayer. Jesus includes that idea of it being late at night and a neighbor already in bed. And Jesus makes it very interesting when he says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will give to him. And I thought, persistence? I didn't read persistence in that passage. His friend went, he knocked on the door, hey buddy, I need some bread for my friend that's come unexpectedly. But obviously he was being persistent. He was knocking and he was kept on knocking. He was asking and he kept on asking. He kept begging, apparently, because of the way Jesus said, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus said, everybody who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and everybody who knocks, to them it will be opened. Doesn't always happen that way, though. Sometimes we ask, but we're asking amiss. We don't know the will of God. And sometimes He doesn't give exactly what we expect. As I had given Maddie my example of yesterday, I wanted to be painting. I didn't want to be there till 9 o'clock last night. I wanted to be in bed by 9 o'clock last night. But as it was, I was traveling on the road and I got home safely, praise God. But it wasn't until 11:30 last night. So I'm a little tired this morning. I usually get to bed earlier. And I have to ask, is Jesus telling the truth? Even though it doesn't always go the way that we expect, is Jesus telling the truth? Well, of course He is. You know He's telling the truth. The Spirit of truth within you witnesses to that truth. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Knock and it'll be answered. Now, I want to take you back to the 32nd chapter of Genesis, where we hear of Jacob wrestling with God. And he refused to give up until God blessed him. In that fight, Jacob gained three things. The first thing we hear about him gaining, I'm not going to read the text, but the first thing we hear about him gaining in that fight, which lasted all night, he received a disability. God touched his hip and the muscle shrank, the scripture tells us. So my guess is he walked with a limp after that, okay? Now, if God touches your hip and a muscle shrinks, buddy, you're not walking like you used to. Let me tell you. Yeah, God disabled him. And second, he received a new name. No longer would he be called Jacob. Instead, he'd be called Israel, the namesake of God's people. Sometimes God renames us, only maybe people don't necessarily call us something different, but God sees us differently because we're persistent in our struggles. And third, he received the blessing that he sought. He got what he wanted because of his persistence. Sometimes in our 30-second, 60-second world, we're quick to give up. Everything's instant now. Everything's instant. How many of you have ever been through a drive-through window? Yeah. You know, my brother and I, we built a drive-through convenience store down in Finleyville back in 1992, 4, something like that. I don't know. You just drove up to the window. You didn't have to get out of your car. You drove up the window, said what you wanted, boom, 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 they get what you want. It was a great concept. He actually wanted to make it into a franchise, and that never happened for a number of reasons. And it was called Drive-Through Convenience and News. It's a great little store. Had everything people would drive up to the window, get, and run off. Instant. Everything's instant, right? We don't want to wait. Who wants to be persistent? That's what Jesus says, though. Because of his persistence, his prayer was answered. And when we're asking God, we have to be persistent. Some will say, oh, well, you're lacking faith. You know, all you have to do is ask God one time and he'll hear you. He knows what you need before you ask him. That's right. And he tells us to ask anyway. And he tells us persistence is important. In his persistence in wrestling with Almighty God, Jacob was greatly blessed. But it cost him something. It cost him his hip. And persistently asking and asking and asking and asking and asking can have a price for us too. Doubts might arise as the enemy of souls assaults your mind. He'll tell you all the reasons why Almighty God will not bless you. He'll accuse you of not being worthy because of your sin. He'll indict you for any lack of devotion. He'll blame you for not receiving the Holy Spirit because of anything you may have done or maybe you didn't do. And also, uncertainty can come upon you as other people share their experiences. Oh, no, I prayed to God for this and it never happened. Oh, it's a waste of time. They'll inject their dissuading words into your mind. An indecision that's caused by human teachings on the Holy Ghost can confuse and even discourage you. Can stop you from seeking God's blessing. But I'm here to tell you, like Jesus told his disciples, the followers, those were believers, they weren't unbelievers. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Be persistent. A lot of times the Lord will allow things to go away so that other things can come to us. And sometimes he allows things to go away to protect us from those very things. Your Father in heaven will hear and answer your persistence. That's what Jesus said. He will answer you. I want us to glance at a couple of other accounts of persistence. One's found in the 15th chapter of Matthew's gospel record. We hear of a woman of Canaan who came to Jesus begging for him to bless her daughter because her daughter was severely demon-possessed. Jesus didn't even respond to her request at first. For everybody there, and the one who recorded it, Matthew, shows us Jesus as much as ignored her. And he goes into this dialogue with her because she's begging for this blessing. And he says, no, I didn't come for those who are outside of it. I came for the lost sheep of Israel. And she said, even the dogs deserve crumbs. And Jesus said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in a long time. You know what? I'm going to give you what you want. Persistence. She was persistent and she prevailed. Jesus spoke that healing and her daughter was healed right then. That woman believed and she petitioned him persistently. She wouldn't give up. She didn't turn away whenever he ignored her at first. Now, I have to ask if maybe that's an example for us to persistently pray for our own children. And pray for our children to receive the Holy Ghost. Another account's found in the 15th chapter of Romans. It's a little different here because the Apostle Paul is asking the Roman Christians to pray for him persistently. Pray, he says, pray. He's begging them to pray, to strive together with him in prayers to Almighty God. He begged them through the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Spirit that they would strive together in prayer. And you see, it's the Holy Spirit of love that enables us to be persistent. He enables us. Because we have a measure of the Spirit whenever we are born again. He's the one that comes in. He's the one that renews. Paul wanted to be delivered from those in Judea who did not believe, and that his service for Jerusalem might be acceptable to the saints. Historically, Rome, the Roman government, wanted to take over Jerusalem because it was the center of Christianity, the start of Christianity. And they wanted to usurp the power of the people in Jerusalem. Paul was already in that battle right there. There's a big long dialogue about that, and there's lots and lots of stuff you can read about it. But in the end, Paul was praying for them to pray for him. He wanted them to pray that he'd have an effect, a positive effect, where he was. And when he's talking about the saints in that passage, he's not just talking about some dead folk somewhere. He's talking about all who believe. The Scripture calls all of us saints. It's not in that way that some use to describe somebody who went on to glory. Whenever we want to be refreshed, when we want to be renewed, when we want to be reinvigorated, empowered, pray. Pray for God to pour out His Spirit upon us. Pray. Petition Almighty God who hears your prayers. But remember, He doesn't hear the prayers of those who willfully live against the guidance of His Word and Spirit. If we're living as friends of the world, we're living as enemies of God. Why would He answer our prayer if we're His enemy? Ask. 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 It's written in the 18th chapter of Luke that Jesus told a parable of an unjust judge who responded to a widow woman who was asking persistently for what? Help. She wanted justice. She wanted justice for herself from her adversary. And isn't that why we need the Holy Spirit? For justice against our adversary. Jesus said that He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And the Holy Spirit is the enforcer of that authority. He is the power to enforce the authority that Jesus gives to His followers. Ask, 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 and ask again. Keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Don't give up. Keep going forward. Beg God. What do you need? And what do you need more than His Spirit? Is there anything you need more than His Spirit? I would dare to say no. I would say the Holy Spirit is what each believer needs to be empowered to do the work that God has called for all of us to do. Be persistent. That's what Jesus said. Continually ask your Father in heaven. Continually beg Him to fill you to overflowing. So that as you are living your life, the Spirit is flowing off of you and touching other lives. Plead with Him to overwhelm you with the Holy Spirit, to baptize you. That's what the word baptize means, to be overwhelmed. When we baptize people in water, we overwhelm them with water. We bury them in the likeness of His death. We raise them in the likeness of His resurrection into new life. Very often we hear people talking about water baptism, but they don't want to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. They think it was something that happened then. It's not something that happens now. Or they'll tell you that, yeah, well, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit whenever you say yes to Jesus. But when you look at what happens to somebody who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, who's overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, things change radically. There's radical change. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, Jesus said, How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to His children who ask Him? Ask! But remember, as you're asking and seeking and knocking, that the Holy Spirit is given for God's glory, not your own. In James chapter 4, it's written, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, he's speaking of other things, but the idea applies. You ask and do not receive, he goes on to say, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's saying, get rid of selfishness. Allow the Holy Spirit to rule. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we find an account of a man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery. He astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. And because of the persecution in Jerusalem, Philip and others had fled to Samaria, because the ruling Jews would not go to Samaria. They'd go around Samaria. There's a big long story behind that, but that's the reason they went there, or at least it's presumed to be the reason they went there. But instead of hiding when they got to Samaria, Philip went out and he started preaching. He's preaching, obviously under the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. He's sharing the gospel, and people started to believe. They became new believers. Great signs and wonders followed him. People were healed and demons were cast out. And as those people came to believe, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things that were spoken by Philip. And they heard and saw the miracles which he did. And so Peter and John came down to Samaria from Jerusalem. And what did they do? They laid hands on the new converts to receive the Holy Ghost. See, they were already believers, but they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John came down, laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. But this man Simon, who everybody thought had the power of God because of his sorcery, he thought he could buy the Holy Spirit. And he offered money. Yeah, give me the Spirit so I can give this power to other people. Peter said, your money perished with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You've neither portion nor part in this matter. Your money perished with you? Well, that's a word that's used of eternal destruction. He's talking about go to hell with your money. Okay? That's what he's saying to him. You're going to be damned with that money. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God. None of us can do anything to buy God's gift, whether it be our salvation or His Spirit. And Peter told him to repent of his wickedness and pray to God that perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. And then he repented. He said, oh, please don't let that happen. He begged. He begged Peter to pray for him that this curse of damnation would not remain. And he gave up his selfishness, at least at that moment. Jesus repeatedly instructed his disciples to ask and receive. Repeatedly. Not just once, not just the one passage that we read. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why do we ask? That the Father would be glorified. Your Heavenly Father wants you, to bring glory to Him. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, whatever you ask and ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. He wants you to have fullness of joy. That's in John chapter 16, by the way. And the other one that I read was from John chapter 14. Matthew in chapter 21 is where we hear whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Jesus speaking again. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we hear He, being speaking of God, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do more than we ask. We ask Him for His Spirit. He can pour out His Spirit on us and we would not know what to do. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we hear Jesus say, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me." And He goes on to say, "to the ends of the earth." He wants you to be a witness to Him. He wants you to help bring others into His kingdom. Because His kingdom's come on earth. He wants you to invite others to join you in sharing the good news. God's brought His kingdom to earth in the person of Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, His Hebrew name. It's the one we call Jesus. He wants to empower you to spread the good news. This is why the Holy Spirit was given. You think about the disciples, whenever they were hiding, okay, Jesus had just been killed. They're hiding in an upper room, afraid that they're going to die. They're next, because they were with Him. And what happened? They're hiding until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then suddenly, they're bold witnesses. First, they're hiding, and then they're out there telling people about Jesus, and then they get arrested for it. And the authorities tell them, "Don't speak in this name anymore." And what'd they do? Went back to hiding? No. They went back out, and they did the same thing. When they got arrested again, what happened? "Didn't we tell you not to speak in this name?" And they said, "Well, we ought to obey God rather than man." And what they did, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't their own power. It wasn't their own strength. It was God's power come upon them. They were serving Him. He wants you to be a witness. He wants to empower you to spread the good news. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, it's written, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments." Oh, there's one of those doggone... Why can't we get away with doing whatever we want? Oh, we got to keep His commandments. You know, what's up with that? Can't He just let us have free reign down here, do whatever we want, and bless us? No, that's not the way it works. He said, "Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." In fact, Jesus said, "If you love Me, you keep My commandments. If you don't, you won't." I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to share again what's written in James' letter. You have not because you ask not. And if we take Jesus' example where He says persistence pays, then we could say you have not because you ask not persistently. Because you're not asking with persistence. You need to keep asking. You need to keep knocking. You need to keep seeking. Ask today. Ask tonight. Ask tomorrow. Ask continually. Seek today. Seek tomorrow. Seek continually. Knock. You can knock now. Knock later. Knock tomorrow. Knock continually. God! I think it was Bob Dylan that did a song, "Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door." And another group made it more famous in the more distant past. What's that? I messed it up. Well, they did. The second one messed it up. Right, right. I was going to play a clip of that, but I didn't. I have it prepared on my computer, but I didn't. Almighty God has empowered His people with His Spirit to have authority over all the power of the enemy. Ask, and you will receive. You're no different than those people. Peter was a fisherman. And we could compare him to any of the trades today. He was a regular working guy, hard-working guy. He wasn't super educated. He didn't go to seminary. Jesus said, "Now this is my man, Peter, here. Peter's the one who took the sword and lopped off the soldier's ear. He was impetuous. But God used him. He filled him with His Spirit and He turned him into who He wanted him to be. And He can do the same for all of us. Maybe it's time to take your walk to the next level. Maybe it's time to ask Almighty God to pour His Spirit upon you. It's time to receive the Holy Ghost who will empower you. He's empowered so many others before. There's no reason. There is absolutely no reason. If you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, there's no reason for you not to receive His Holy Spirit. Remember, the kingdom of God requires your utmost commitment to serving Almighty God, not yourself. That's the takeaway. We serve Him. He empowers us, we serve Him. He empowers us, we serve Him. He fills us with His Spirit, we pour it out upon others in service to Almighty God. And you know, His kingdom is worth more than any earthly pursuit. There's nothing on earth that's worth more than God's kingdom. But to realize the fullness that He has for your life, you have to put down or forsake those earthly pursuits that get in the way. And you have to trust Him to give you exactly what you need to serve Him. You have to become as a little child, trusting your Heavenly Father. And that's hard for a lot of us, especially guys, right? Because we're used to taking care of ourselves, right? Yeah, but we got to lean on God. We have to trust Him. Because He's the one that's in control. I got a lesson in that yesterday I shared with y'all. The deck got painted or stained, whatever you call it. But not in my timing. That's just a little example. I've had some big ones too. And remember what Jesus said. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you, His children, who ask Him? And so I say, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you need to ask. Because you have not, because you ask not. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to surrender to You. Help us, Lord, to ask today, tonight, tomorrow, continually. Help us to seek today, tomorrow, continually. Help us to remember that Your kingdom requires our commitment to serving You, not ourselves. Help us, Lord, to realize that Your kingdom is worth more than any earthly pursuit. Lord God, if there's anybody here who perhaps is not filled with Your Spirit, I ask, Father, I ask on behalf of them, I intercede, Lord, as the under-shepherd of Christ here, I ask that You would fill Your people with Your Spirit. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord. We're powerless without You. We want to serve You. We want to serve You with all that we have, Lord. Help us to do that. Break the chains that bind us. Free us, Lord, from everything and anything that gets in the way of our service to You. I pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 394. Do you need me to play that one, Rose? Okay, number 394, I Surrender All. And I'm doing this hymn for a number of reasons, one of which is in remembrance of my friend Matthew Azzolina, pastor who actually helped me get started when I finally came back to God after running from him for 20 years. He's not doing well, I understand, and he used to do this song at the end of every service, well, practically every service. In the years that I was there, I can only remember two other times that something else was our closing hymn. I Surrender All. And I think we had like 7 or 8 verses in our hymnal. We sang them all sometimes. But praise the Lord, we've got 4 verses. It's number 394, I Surrender All. And if you can, please stand as we sing.
Hi, this is Maddie. I want you to visit with us next weekend.
For those of you who might be interested in helping us to support the ministry, you may send your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.